Good morning. Let me add my welcome to MCC. Thank you for joining this morning for worship. We have just begun a new sermon series, The Power of One. We are rediscovering how many times the power of one has made a huge impact in our lives, in the lives of others, and even in the lives of nations. Last week, we kicked it off with the power of one person and the reminder that sometimes it only takes one. We continue this morning as we look at the power of one decision. Nearly all of us have looked back at certain decisions in our lives and said, if only I had. If only I had spoken up. If only I had taken that trip. If only I had taken that job offer. If only I'd waited a little bit longer. If only I had been there. If only I had hung out with better friends. Sometimes we've said, if only I had not. If only I had not said those things. If only I had not gone to that place. If only I had not given in to peer pressure. If only I had not dated that person. If only I had not taken that first drink or that first smoke or that first drug. If only I had not watched that first porno. If only I had not had that first chat. One decision that could have and would have made all the difference in the world, in my life, and in the lives of those I love, and in the lives of so many others. All of life is a matter of choices. It is a matter of making decisions. We make them every day, some good, some bad, and quite frankly, some that don't matter one way or the other. Should we eat at Sonic or Chick-fil-A? Should we go to the gym after work or just go home? Should we go to church or just sleep in today? Should we get a job or go on to college? Do we cheer for the St. Louis Cardinals or the Chicago Cubs? But there is a far more important decision to make. How do I want to make a difference with my life? Perhaps the only true freedom each of us has is the freedom to choose. And once we choose, we become a servant to our choices. You can always choose the easy road and coast through life, letting the currents of culture just push you along with everyone else. Or you can take the challenging and sometimes more difficult road, standing for what you believe and sometimes meaning standing alone. But never forget, the decision is yours. As Robert Frost wrote, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. We are here today, and where we are today is a result of the decisions we have made. Where we will be tomorrow depends greatly on the decisions we will make. Turn with me first to 2 Kings chapter number 5. We're going to look at two people who had decisions to make. Their choices not only impacted their lives, but the lives of others. We're going to look at the lives of a young girl and of a military leader. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. Now, that's Syria. He was the king of Syria. He was a great man. Naaman was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier But he had leprosy. Verse 2, now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel. And she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Now keep this picture clearly in your mind. A young girl taken captive from Israel, taken to a foreign country, serving the wife of a valiant soldier, Naaman. And one day, she makes a decision that changes the destiny for this army commander. She saw an opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life, and she took it. Lesson number one, don't miss opportunities. God wants to work not only in your life, but God wants to work around your life. Nearly every day we come across opportunities that give us a choice to speak up or to be silent, a choice to get involved or to stand by and just watch. This young Jewish girl living in Syria became aware of a need and she decided to take action. So if you don't want to miss an opportunity, you have to be aware so you can be available. If you want to make a difference, just look around you. At home, at work, at school, at church, in your community, and you will see people everywhere who need help, who need hope, who need you. As you look around you, you'll find people are the most receptive, I think, when one of two things is happening in their lives. One, when they are going through change in their life. Or two, when they are going through a crisis in their life. Breaking up with your first real love can be catastrophic, even if you are only 12. Moving, changing schools, changing jobs, making new friends, finding a new church home, getting married, having children, buying a house, and many more changes like these are happening around us, to people around us every day. The tests confirming it is cancer. A business venture sending you into bankruptcy. An unfaithful spouse destroys marriages, families, trust, and dreams. Addictive behavior. The death of a spouse or a child can send anyone into crisis mode. Naaman was an incredible military leader, but he had a physical limitation. His crisis was his leprosy, and he was open and receptive to any kind of help he could get. You ever been there? To the point where you'll try anything. However, a question for us to think about is this. Why would anyone listen to this young, foreign servant girl? Why would anyone listen to you? I think it's probably because she was trustworthy. There was something about the way she was living her life in their home that earned her the respect to listen to her. It certainly shows she had courage. What if they didn't listen to her? We've established she was young. How much could she know about such matters as an incurable disease? And who in Syria would care about a prophet in Israel? And what if she was speaking out of place? Who was she to say what the prophet would do? What if the prophet didn't heal his leprosy? After all, she didn't say, you should go to Israel because they have this new experimental drug. She didn't say, he may be able to extend your life or to ease your pain. She said, if only he would go see the prophet in Samaria, he would cure him. If Naaman and his wife listened to her, if people listen to you, she could be facing some very serious consequences if this all goes south. Courage is often needed when you try to help people. Because when you try to help someone, you could face ridicule or rejection. Even though you want to help, you could hear many of them say, well, it's none of your business. Or they'll say, I can handle this myself. Or maybe you always think you know everything. But listen, God has put you in the place you are and surrounded you with the people who are there who need help and hope. Your family, your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends, your church family, and you have decisions to make every day that can influence and impact their lives. Do something, say something, even if it seems small. Let's continue on in our account. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. Naaman went to his master. Now, who is Naaman's master? The king. Naaman went to the king and told him what the girl from Israel had said. Well, by all means, the king of Aram replied. By all means, go. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. I don't know where that comes from. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Now, if you look at your footnotes, that is 750 pounds of silver and 150 pounds of gold. Verse 6, the letter that he took to the king of Israel read like this. With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. What do you see wrong in this picture already? As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me? In other words, the king of Israel did not understand what God was doing, and neither did the king of Syria. This young girl simply suggested that Naaman go see the prophet in Israel. And Naaman went to his king and told him what the girl from Israel had said. Well, this is fine with the king. Naaman was one of his finest and most loyal men. And in essence, he says, of course, man, go. Do whatever you can. I want the best for you. In fact, let me do something for you. I'll do better than a prophet for you. I will send a letter to the king of Israel and gifts to the king of Israel. If there is a cure in Israel for your leprosy, I'll make sure you have it. We will go straight to the top. But the king of Israel takes this as a trap. He sees this as starting a quarrel. He thinks the king of Syria is setting him up for failure. And then he's going to get angry and he's going to want to start a war. Look again at verse 7. Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me? That's the way the king of Israel thought. Why do we always have to complicate things? Why do we always want to insert our plans into God's plans? Why do we always think we have a better way or a quicker way for God to get things done? Look what happens as God puts all this back on track. Verse 8. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, which, by the way, is where he should have gone in the first place, right? Have the man come to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 9, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger. That's like getting a text. Elisha sent a text to him and said, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. Now what would you have done with that? I'd have gone swimming in the Jordan. What a difference between God's way of getting things done and our way of getting them done. Our way, Naaman comes to the king of Israel. He's brought an entourage with him along with a letter from the king of Syria, 750 pounds of silver. As of Friday, that was worth over $184,000 today. 150 pounds of gold. Today, as of Friday, that was worth nearly $3.5 million. And 10 changes of clothes. He's serious about getting healed. Israel's king sent him to the prophet Elijah. He shows up at Elisha's door, and Elisha didn't even come out of his house. He sent a messenger to tell him, the prophet says, go wash 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be healed. Now, I love how the message reads that verse. Go to the River Jordan and immerse yourself 7 times. Your skin will be healed and you will be as good as new. Isn't that good? Now, that's all pretty simple, but let's see how we complicate everything. Verse 11. But Naaman went away angry and said, well, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. See what he said there? I thought it'll be done this way. I have better resources in Syria. Why can't I wash there? Doesn't that sound like a spoiled teenager's tantrum when they don't get their way? And though he didn't, I can hear God saying under his breath, why can't you just do what I say? You ever had that under your breath, said that under your breath with your kids? Well, why can't I do this? Well, why do you have to do this? Why can't you do that? And then we just say, well, why can't you just do what I said? Make things a whole lot easier, a whole lot quicker, a lot less painful. Well, we're going full circle now. A servant girl in his home, a servant girl in his home suggested he go see the prophet in Israel. And now the servants that came with him to Israel come to him. Verse 13, Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you wash and be cleansed? Why does it have to be so spectacular? Why does it have to be? Why do you have to see stars? Why do you have to hear the bells? Why do you have to just, so many of us want so many signs and wonders to happen. Why can't you? Verse 14. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. You know, if we're honest, we can understand Naaman's reaction. Probably some of us would have reacted in the same way. But that one decision could have been a life sentence of leprosy. But somebody else made a decision to say, look, I know we think it ought to be this way. But what's wrong with just doing it the simple way? Here's lesson number two. Don't be stubborn. God wants to work in your life. Don't miss opportunities because God wants to work around your life. But don't be stubborn. God's trying to work in your life too. He thought he deserved some fanfare, some display of great power, something for all to see. I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. He didn't get his way. So he took his ball and headed for home. I don't want to do it your way. Because it's my way or... And he hit the road and headed back. Isn't that what his servant said? Hey, look, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? You see, Naaman had a bigger problem than his leprosy. Pride. Before you can receive God's grace, you have to submit to God's will. Don't be stubborn. Be willing to be humbled so you can be helped. No, it may not be spectacular. No, it may not be the way you thought, the way you wanted, the way you always dreamed. But be willing to be humbled so you can be helped. And don't be stubborn. Be willing to listen so you can learn. What if the servants had come to Naaman, gave their little speech, and he went, talk to the hand, whatever. Be willing to listen so you can learn. Each one of us needs somebody who will look us in the eye, who will shoot straight with us, who will speak the truth in love, someone who wants to help us, and we need to listen to them when they do. For Naaman, it was his servants, a servant girl in his household, and his servants on the job. So be willing to be obedient so you can be blessed. You see, when all of this transpired, Naaman is left with a decision to make. Is he going to do things God's way or do things his own way? Elisha asked him to do a simple but humbling act. Go dip 7 times in the muddy waters of the Jordan River. That's like baptism for us. We're simply put under the water. It's a humbling act in front of our friends to indicate our faith in Jesus Christ and a willingness to be humble and obedient just because He said so. Naaman finally did what the man of God told him to do. He was obedient and he was healed. You see, if faith doesn't lead to obedience, then it's not faith at all. James says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We must act on what we believe. Quit being stubborn about it. Number three, don't be fearful, because God wants to work through your life. Naaman has an important decision. Will he continue down the path of doing things his way and live with his leprosy? Or will he do something that seems so strange, so unlike him, so different, just because the word of the Lord says to do it? and find what he really came looking for, to be cured. His way of doing things had brought him great success through the years. His way of doing things had brought him promotions. He was now the commander in the king's army. His way of doing things brought him great respect. He was highly regarded by the king himself. His way had brought him recognition and influence. He was a valiant soldier. But you need to be willing to leave success so you can find significance. What do you need? Or perhaps I should ask, what are you willing to give up to find significance in your life? What are you willing to give up to find significance in the kingdom work? Like Naaman, you need to give up your pride. Is it your love for money? Perhaps an addiction, an affair? Jealousy, a pursuit for titles. When I die, I don't really care if I leave a street named after me or a monument erected to my memory and accomplishments. I don't really care if a building bears my name. I just want to be sure my name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Perhaps it's not so much something you need to give up as it is something you need to just refocus. There's nothing wrong with making lots of money, but are you doing it just to provide you with all the fine, nice, luxurious things in life while leaving you with tremendous stress, eating up your health, stealing time from God and from your family, time that you will never get back? How many times, Brother Mike, have we said, I've never known a man on his deathbed to say, I wish I'd had more time at work. But how many times have we heard people say, I wish I'd spent more time with my family? Or are you using that money to make a difference in the life of your family and the lives of others? Are you using it to make an impact in kingdom work? You may have to give up some things or at least make some changes. But you do have to make a decision. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Make a decision. When we're afraid to make a decision, what do? We procrastinate. We put it off. No decision is still a decision. And remember, one decision can make all the difference. So let me ask you some questions. Are you ready to totally follow Jesus Christ? Are you ready to move beyond faith in Christ and live in obedience to Christ? You can't just follow Jesus like he's on Twitter. You see, to follow someone on Twitter doesn't involve changing your life. All you have to do is click follow. And you're done. Then you wait for them to send you some inspiring nuggets of wisdom that you may or may not ponder, or even bother to read them or respond to them. But you are still considered one who is following them. It's a very passive relationship with no responsibilities. And sadly, that's what it means to many people to be a Christian. Say a prayer, get baptized, join a church, and we just push the follow button. After that, we just wait for inspiring messages on Sunday, whether we listen or not, whether we respond or not, whether we change or not, we are still considered followers of Christ. That's not the way God means for our conversion to be. If we're going to impact our life and the lives of those around us for Jesus, we have to make a decision to actively follow Jesus. The biggest and most powerful decision you will ever make is to be a sold out, obedient, servant believer for Jesus. So what's our takeaway? It's for you to answer for your life. What is one decision I need to make to totally follow Jesus? Are you open to a job change? To settle for less things? For more time with your family? Can you change your schedule so you can find an area in your church to serve? Can you make a decision, especially you men, to step up and say, I'm going to be the spiritual leader in my home? Or maybe a decision to make worship and your small group a priority instead of an option. Maybe that one decision is to accept Him as your Savior today. In faith to repent and be baptized and start a powerful life journey with Him, you will truly know the power of one decision when you make that one. But whatever it is, we invite you to make that one decision today. Father God, in each of our lives, we make choices every single day. None is more important than the decision to follow You or not. Like Naaman, to seek things that will do good for us and others, but do it on our terms, our way, or a willingness to quit being so stubborn and humble ourselves and do things Your way. There's the power of one decision. To surrender our life to You in obedience, or a decision, Father, to wrestle with You in disobedience. There are many decisions that need to be made today. Some are religious and spiritual and churchy. Others are about health, or decisions here about marriage, decisions about finances. All kinds of decisions, Father, and we just pray that we will realize each decision has the power to impact our lives and the lives of those around us, and each one of them has such power that we need to consider our decisions that important. So we seek Your wisdom in every decision we make, but whatever decisions we make, we pray we'll make them now. In Jesus' name, amen.